Let us continue to study the book of Habakkuk. This morning we study the first question. Habakkuk asked God, why is there evil in the world? Right? And since the evil is winning and you did not do anything, it seems it's against the nature of God's justice. So many sinful things, unjust happen, and seems God did not interfere. And where is the God, the God of justice? And where is justice of God? Yeah. And then God give him the answer. And he is going to use Babylon as his rod of judgment upon the sinful Judah. And it's coming and very swift, and no one can resist. So after the first question been answered, then Habakkuk had even more serious question asked God, and which we are going to study this evening from chapter 1, verse 12 to chapter 2, verse 1. Before we go into that part, let's go into page D2. Why did God show prophet about his judgment discussion? Where are you too? Cry out, but unheeded. What then do you say, feel and act? What is the Lord's answer? What is amazing about that? In chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Because amazing is God is going to do an amazing thing very swiftly to punish the Judah. Use the Caribbean. Now, we look into the second question. Second question. The prophet are more perplexed than ever and ask how the righteous God can punish Judah with a nation that is even more wicked. So this seems against God's nature. God is a justice God. You use a more evil one to punish a less evil one, then what is the justice of God? So he was perplexed a lot. And then the conflict is between rationale and the faith. So a lot of things that we don't understand by our own ration, because the ration is limited. But one thing we need to have faith is God is absolutely right. And God's nature of love and justice is good. And whatever God do and plan and in control will never against these two natures, and justice and mercy. So whenever we cannot understand with our ration, we just accept with faith, because our ration is so limited. Never doubt about God, God's justice or God's mercy. So reality and idea. We have a lot of idea in our heart, but reality quite different. Just like Habakkuk, right? In him, his understanding about God, it seems so much different from the reality in the world. If God is God of justice, then the reality is God don't care. God did not take any action. God allow it to happen. So the reality seems contradicted to the idea in our mind. Now we think, look into A. God is everlasting and holy one, and God is rock, and God has pure eyes. And that's what the Bible says. Everlasting means he will never change forever. He will never change. Everlasting. And holy, in him there is no sin. He is incomparable. He's the only one. So holy. Holy one. And he is rock, very stable, immovable. And God is pure. This is the God we worship, and this is the God worshipped by the Israelite. And then we look into chapter 1, verse 16. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 16. Therefore, they sacrifice to their neck and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? Is talking about the wickedness of the Babylon when they punish, when they attack. They will attack without mercy. Number C, why God let Babylon destroy Judah? Why? God let Babylon destroy Judah because God want to manifest his justice. We already mentioned many times the Israelites worshiped the idol for so long and neglect the warning of the prophet purposely. So the grace period disappeared, and then God allowed the Babylon to destroy them, to show God a God of justice. And number D, how did the prophet describe his uneven mold? So when Habakkuk knew this, he puzzled even more, right? Perplexed. He was unable to understand why God allowed this to happen. What attitude should we have in prophet situation? So a lot of times, or not a lot of times, sometimes you look into our life, right? It seems the more evil one take advantage of less evil one, and God did not do anything, right? And more evil one is successful, and less evil one is not successful. So in our heart, we are perplexed. Those who do good seems no good rewards. Those who do bad seems no bad consequence. So what is the reason I have to be good? And we just perplexed, and where is God? Something like that. So discussion and sharing. To whom does Habakkuk address his second complaint? To whom? Verse 12, let's read chapter 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. So when Habakkuk has this kind of question, and then he addressed his complaint, he voiced his complaint directly to God himself. So what does that mean to us? So when we have question about anything related to God, the best way is we just ask God in prayer. Of course, sometimes we can ask other people, but a lot of times other people cannot answer too. So the best way is you should pray and ask God. And God will use different ways to reveal his will to us. Sometimes we heard a sermon, we hear a sermon, and the answer is there. Sometimes God will let us read some scripture, and then we understand that scripture, and the answer is there. And sometimes God will allow us to experience something in our daily life, and all of a sudden we realize something we did not understand before. So if we really address our question directly to God, sooner or later, we are going to understand God more because he is going to answer our questions. Now we go into discussion number two. When else in history have the righteous been swallowed up by the wicked? Why? I think you can answer quite a bit of answer, right? Example, in the history, especially in the Bible, have the righteous been swallowed up by the wicked one? When else in the history recorded the righteous being swallowed up by the wicked one, and why? Can you give example? The righteous one will be the one God abide. So if the righteous one has the abidance of God, then what? God is a rock. Can you move the rock? No. Can you defeat the rock? No. So when the righteous do everything right according to God, God's will, and God abide, we can never defeat the person. Right. You defeat it, it's going to come back again. Why? Because God is with the person. Now, quite a few, right? The most famous one is Joseph. Right? Joseph went to see his brother because he follow his father's instruction. And then, why his brother want to kill him? Why did his brother want to kill him? You don't know. Why did his brother want to kill him?
Jealousy.
Oh, what kind of jealousy? Only Joseph have a what? Colorful clothes, rainbow clothes, right? And all the other brothers had no clothes. That's because of what? Partiality of the parent, right? That was not Joseph's fault. Right? Do you know your parent will treat one particular good? Give him iPhone, the other one give him iPad. That's your parents. It's not the person's wrong, right? So the brother is so jealous about Joseph, so he just say, okay, if we kill Joseph, right? And the father will treat us everybody equal. So Joseph almost was killed, but not because of his own mistake. By whose mistake? His parents showed partiality, the first mistake. The second mistake is brother's jealousy. And Joseph himself is innocent. He's an innocent party, right? But he was swallowed up by the anger of the unrighteous one. Now, what happened? God moves somebody, right? Propose, we are brothers. Just what? Sow him to Egypt. That's good enough. Don't kill him, right? Dare you kill your own sibling? No, I cannot do that, right? Sell it. Sell it, you have money, right? And you don't shed the blood. course, so they sold to Potiphar's house. And when he reached to Potiphar's house, God was with him. Even Potiphar looked, hey, after this young guy come, right, everything becomes smooth. Oh, my family become prosperity, even more prospering before. Potiphar said, this young guy must be very different from other people, right? Because he has the abundance of God. Even Potiphar recognized he has the abundance of God, right? And the second time, Joseph was very pious, very righteous and God-fearing. And he, his master's wife has nothing to do, right? You know, when a person is very rich and you eat all different bad, good food and you have nothing to do, what is in your brain? You start to think about evil things, right? Or how to commit evil things. Joseph say what? Even nobody, only inside the room, only you and me, right? But who is watching? God is watching. So I dare not to do this. Joseph was a young man, you know. He was able to resist. But because of this, he was harmed into the jail, right? Swallowed up by unrighteous person. This is a very perfect example, right? But did they defeat Joseph? Did his brother defeat Joseph? Did the master wife defeat Joseph? From a very short period of time, yes. I successfully sold my brother to Egypt. I successfully put Joseph into jail because he didn't want to follow my instruction to commit sin with me. So right now he's in jail, right? But if you look into a longer term perspective, what happened? Joseph win over one night. The king had a dream and he was unable to solve the dream. And God gave Joseph the wisdom, right? And all of a sudden he become prime minister. Hey. So when his father died, all the brothers were trembling, right? What come trembling? That kind of trembling is different from fearing God, you know. We're fearing God with joy. Hey, God is so good, but God is so awesome, so I'm fearing him with respect. But Joseph, a brother, that kind of trembling with fear because my brother probably will kill everybody of us. Right? And Joseph was so nice to them and comfort them. Am I in the place of God? I cannot do anything. Even though you are wicked, right? You are wrong. You want to sell me, but God's will, God's plan is good. He sent me here. So today you can survive here. You can multiply here. So from here, we understand in our life, days to come, if you are encounter something very unjust, like Joseph, actually we have nothing wrong. We are innocent, but still something unjust happened to us. What is the best way? What is the best way? The best way is to trust to God. Trust to God. In the due time, God is going to reward those who just are right. So, how about the other example? Swallowed up by the wicked one. Can you give an example? Another example is what? Daniel. It's perfect example. But in the whole Bible, we only can find few people never commit mistake. Did Noah commit mistake? Yes. Did David commit mistake? Yes. Did Solomon commit mistake? Yes. Can you find mistake of Joseph? Seems we cannot find any. Can you find mistake of Daniel? It seems we cannot find any, right? Daniel was very much blessed. He was chosen to the palace. And they want to train him to serve God as an advisor. All right. And he tried to behave everything right. Right. Give him very good food, right? But the food had been offered to idol. Are you going to eat? If you don't eat, you have no food to eat. Are you going to eat? That is a very real, real test, how good we are. Right? And he tried to behave very good. And the most famous one is, he did not want to worship the idol, right? And he prayed to God. He prayed to God. Even the king gave a order and already put on the seal of the king. He still opened the window facing Jerusalem and prayed 3 times. He knew it's very risky, but he still do it. And God was with him. He was thrown into a lion, but was not harmed because God was with him. So after he'd been taken up of the lion den, his position as a prime minister even more strengthened, more firm, because even the king feared God. Oh. So no matter what kind of circumstance, even short period of time, it seems we are in disadvantage. Don't worry. From the long-term perspective, if we really please God, God will put you in higher ground. God will manifest his just, and God will make himself glory. And that's what we have to learn. Habakkuk feels that it's not right for the wicked one to punish the less wicked one. Now, we look into the point four. Point four, God's second reply. God is aware of the sin of the Babylon, and they will not escape his terrible judgment. So God used Babylon as a rod to punish the Judah, and the wickedness of the Babylon, God is going to deal with that separately. It's not because God used him as an instrument, so all his weakness just gone, go unpunished. No, God is going to deal with it separately. So God answered and said, chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablet, that he may run who read it. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. So what does that mean? God asked Habakkuk to write down the vision he saw. And what was the vision he saw? The vision he saw is Babylon is going to be punished. And Babylon at that time is so strong. So a lot of people thought, Babylon Empire can last forever. Nobody can defeat him, right? And God asked Habakkuk, you write down the vision and put a place where everybody can read it. Why? Because God wants to make sure people know it. The prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Oh. So when Habakkuk write down on that piece of paper and post in the entrance of the gate of the city, everybody read it. The person say, Babylon will be destroyed by God. Everybody probably laughing, right? How can it's possible? Babylon is so number one kingdom. It's going to be destroyed. Nobody believed it, all right? And nobody believed it's posted there. And God said, you have to wait. You have to wait. Wait until God's coming and it will be fulfilled. So a lot of time, people keep on question. When time is ripe, Babylon been destroyed, everybody says, oh, thank God, right? God is a faithful God. God can prophesy whatever is coming, going to happen. This is chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. We look into point one. How does God answer our prayer? How does God answer our prayer? Because a lot of teaching of the Bible actually is a promise of God. When we have problem, where do we find the answer? Bible, yes. Bible is a what? Manual of human being, right? When you buy a computer, very important, you have to have a manual, right? One day I stay in a member's house, go to a remote area. The member go to work. I try to watch CNN. They have about 5 to 6 remote control. I keep on pushing the button for 20 minutes. I cannot get the CNN out. Because too many buttons. I don't know to push which one. And when the member come back, he just push 2-1 and CNN come out. All right. No manual. Nowadays, you don't know how to operate. If there's a problem, you don't know how to fix. Right? And we, human beings, created by God, and God gave us a manual. What is a manual? Bible. Bible tell you what is human being. Oh, what is the purpose? You come here. Where do you come from? Right? Where are you going? When you have problem, how to fix it? Here. So if you throw away Bible, you have problem, you don't know how to fix it. Because this is a manual. Right? So when you have every problem, the first thing is find the answer from the Bible. Bible have all different kind of promise. Oh. And then what? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. Anybody read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Can everybody read that out? Well, we read together. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promise of God in Jesus Christ is yes. It's not no, it's yes. Right? Yes means what? The promise will be fulfilled. So all the promise is like a check, right? What do we want? If you want joy, right? And signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And recipient, you'll sign by yourself, right? And how can you realize your promise of God? You pray, and the promise will be realized. Oh. So, how does God answer our prayer? Whatever promise in the Bible, it will be given to us. But we need to have patience, wait for God's timing. Oh, right. So from chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we understand God asked Habakkuk, write down your vision and post it and let everybody know it and tell him to wait. Oh, wait until God's timing is going to realize. And point 2, write a vision and make it plain on a tablet. Let everybody know. So this book, Bible, has been under scrutiny for more than 2,000 years. Oh, right. Has been under scrutiny for, scrutinized by so many different people, by scientists, by the expert, by a lot of wise person, right? Scrutinize the whole Bible, and the Bible is still very useful. Why? Because this is the words of God. It can go through the test of time and still valid. Oh. So write the vision and make it plain in the tablet. If you can foresee the future, then you don't have to study. Right? If you can foresee the future, you know stock. Next year, which stock is going to shooting up, right? You buy it right now. All right, you can foresee the future. You know which stock is going to come down, go south, and you sell it. You don't have to study so hard, right? Oh, but we cannot foresee. We can only what? Forecast. Oh, if we forecast, always the forecast is different. The weather forecast is always different, right? Oh. So the best forecast is tomorrow will be sunny and sometimes covered by cloud. Occasionally it will rain. This kind of forecast will never wrong. All right. So human being is different from God, and God can predict, but God can foresee. So write down and make it plain it on the tablet. Number three. And he may run who read it, and to read it clear, and totally understand and get rid of confusion. Make it very clear. Everybody understand it. Oh, why? Because it's going to be fulfilled. And people know there is God, and God is in control of history. So God is able to write down what is going to happen in the future. So wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. When God's timing, it surely come. Now, all the prophets almost in the Bible already fulfilled. Only one prophecy not fulfilled yet. What? Second coming of Jesus, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not waiting that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. And both the earth and the work that are in it will all burn up. Do you know when thief is coming? No, if you know when thief is coming, then thief is not thief. You're holding a gun. 11:55, thief is going coming. Then I just point the gun on the door, right? When the time comes, boom, he died. It's thief, you know the timing. But it's not, right? When the thief come in, it's just sneak in while you're snowing, right? Thief come in. That what Jesus Christ is going to come, nobody know it. But we know the time is approaching. All the prophets have been fulfilled, only one. Since all the prophets have been fulfilled, this one will be fulfilled. You can read it. The Bible says you have to read it. And make everybody understand it. Jesus is second coming, very, very close. Why? Why Jesus did not come? Because if Jesus come tonight, can we be saved? Can our family be saved? Can the one we love be saved? That's a big question mark, right? So the reason Jesus did not come is because he wants to give us more time to prepare. But the time is running short. When we look into the world situation, time is running short, really. You look, everybody developed what? Atomic bomb, right? Nuclear weapon. Once according to the Bible, right? The Satan right now being confined in a bottomless pit, right? Once the Satan been released, all the world will become chaotic, right? And every country puts a button to release the nuclear button. Then what happened? What happened? If a nuclear bomb exploded on top of Boeing Park Church, what happened? Within second, you will be ashes. Cannot find. Where is John? Where is Peter? All right. Disappear already. All right. So when you so hard, you become ashes, 10 more atomic bomb is nothing. Because you already become ashes, all right. So, before Jesus' second coming, what we afraid of most in Jesus' second coming is not atomic bomb. You know, some of the members just advise other church members accumulate canned food, accumulate water in the basement because Jesus' second coming. No, you are wrong. Oh, Jesus' second coming, you don't need that because one atomic bomb will resolve everything. But what is most terrible is before Jesus can come in, there was a terrible day. The crime of morality, the work of Satan, will defeat one by one those who are not watchful. God tells the prophet, wait for it, and it will surely come. It will not tarry. Today to us, what's that? Second coming of Jesus Christ. So brothers, if God move you, call you to serve, then to serve, right? Because Jesus' second coming, real. God call you, don't tarry, right? You go the right way, you will reach retirement. You go the left way, you will reach retirement. You drive Mercedes-Benz, you will retire. And you drive Toyota, you will retire. When you retire, what kind of car you drive before, it makes no difference, right? More make no difference. But what makes a difference is, if you serve God, your life is very meaningful. If you serve your physical body, fulfill your lust, fulfill your desire, right? When you grow old, you look back, everything becomes vanity. That's true. Oh, so wait for it, it will surely come. Now, number B, we look into chapter 2, verse 4. Behold the proud. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The proud. His soul is not upright in him. And the proud means Chaldean, the Babylonian. But the just shall live by his faith. It's a very important sentence, right? Paul was so well versed about the Old Testament, and Paul was able to pick one sentence and write a book of Romans. The just shall live by faith. Now, but in that time, what does that mean? The just shall live by his faith. When the Babylon invade Jerusalem, invade Judah, those who are just, behave godly, really live a God-fearing life, God will preserve their life. God will protect them. And they will not be killed. The just shall live by faith. Right. But what does that mean today? Today means justification comes from faith. So we are not facing the time of Habakkuk. The Babylon is going to invade us physically, but we are facing spiritual calamity. So if we believe in Jesus Christ and receive the baptism, we will be justified. That in the Old, the New Testament sense. Okay, what is the just? Can you find one verse of the Bible? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Where can you find it? What does the Lord require of you? The minor prophet. What does the Lord require of you? Yes, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Can you open it and read it? Okay, now let's read together. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Lord, with your God. So a lot of people thought, God wants my money. So if you offer the tithes and you come to keep the Sabbath, you are a good person already, in the eye, you are a good Christian already, then we are totally mistaken. God don't want our money, you know? God has everything. How can God want your money, right? What does God require of you? To do just, do justly, and to love mercy. To do just is a requirement to us, right? We have to remind ourselves to do everything just. And to have mercy is an attitude to others. Oh, but sometimes we just reverse, right? We are very merciful to ourselves, and we apply the justice to others, right? And that's what the Bible says. To walk humbly with your God. Okay, so let's come back. What is just? Just means do everything right according to God's deity. And what is faith? The explanation of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now we're looking to see. The law answered with a series of five woes. Five woes. About the Babylon. Why God want to destroy Babylon? Five woes. Chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Greed and aggression. Then read the Habakkuk again. Chapter 2, verse 5. Indeed, because transgression transgressed by wine, and he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarged his desire as the hell, and he is like a dead and cannot be satisfied, and gather to himself all the nations, and heap up for himself all the peoples. Chariotians are very greedy and aggression. They want to expand the territory to everywhere. So he does not stay at home. What does that mean? You know, a lot of businessmen's children, they will never engage in business. Why? Businessman's children never want to engage in business. Why? Because I cannot see my father all the time. Why? Today, fly to Shanghai. And next week, fly to Beijing. And next week, fly to Hong Kong. And next week, fly to Singapore. And next week, fly to Tokyo. 365 days, most of the time out of home, right? Why? They cannot stay home. Because if you want to expand your business, you have to travel, you have to go there, you have to make a deal, all right? You have to solve the problem there. So charity, they are very ambitious. Yeah, they want to attack this nation, and they want to attack the nation, so enlarge their territory and kill a lot of people. And that was their sin. So woe to them, greed and aggression. He does not stay home. What is the teaching? Hey, brothers, it's good to be ambitious, but also when we learn the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control, right? If you engage one day, engage in the business or in a career which will require you always out of home, Is that good? It's high pay. Very high pay. And you have good opportunity to be promoted, become CEO within a few years. But you always have to be out of home. Is that a good job? Do you like it? Few years, you make 1 million. You like it? You don't like it? Are you sure? Whether a job is good or not, eventually we have to judge from spiritual perspective. After 10 years, 20 years, I engage in the job, if I lose my faith, is that a good job? No, it's not a good job. After I engaged the job for 5 or 10 years, my marriage will break up. Why? Because I'm always out of town. Is that a good job? It's not a good job. The good job is a job you can take care of your faith, you can take care of your family. Even if it is low pay, it's fine. Even if you don't have too much opportunity to be promoted, it's fine. Now, so ambitious sometimes is good, but if you are too ambitious to a point, you don't want to stay at home, then it's not good. It's not good. Now, okay. The next one, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. The sin of the charitian is exploitation and extortion. Chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Woe to him who covet evil gain for his house, that he may set the nest on high, and that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. Verse 10. Right? And you give shameful counsel to your house, and cutting off many people, and sin against your soul. Verse 11. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timber will answer it. So what does that mean? Who covet for evil gain? No. Right. So what does that mean, evil gain? They get a lot of money with an illegal way. All right. So what does it today? If we cheat other people in order to make money, don't do it. Oh, right. It's illegal. If we have to do the tax evasion, it's not good. Oh, you have to do everything legally, not against our conscience, right? If we gain some kind of money in that way, that would be good. But when we engage in the real life, so much temptation, so much temptation. Ruin our faith. This is a sin of the Caribbean. Caribbean. Now, number 3, violence. Chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Woe to him who built a town with a bloodshed, and who established a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not the Lord of hosts that the people labor to feed the fire, and the nation weary themselves in vain. Verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. So the violence cover the city of Babylon. So they use the blood to build the city. In order to conquer many cities, they have to eliminate all the adversary. How to eliminate all the adversary? The best way to kill them all. So they conquer a time and become the territory of the Babylon, but they shed so many people's blood, and that, in the eyes of God, is their sin. So never engage in violence as a Christian. If we engage in violence, woe to us, because we have no mercy to other people. Okay. What is the real teaching? If I don't engage in violence, can I play the violin again? I play a game. I killed 2 cops in the game. Is that good? Probably not too good, right? No, it's not too good. Because this kind of influence, even though we know how to self-control, but it is promoted to become a culture, then you are going to see more shooting happen in the campus. More shooting happen in the shopping mall. Why? Because of the violence game everywhere. No, it promoted everywhere. Because you buy it, so the factory sees so many people buy it, right? So they create more violent gang because they want to make money. Only a few people, they really make that for education. A lot of people make for profit. No. Right. So violence is no good, but also you can enjoy the violence again is not good either. Oh. The next one, immorality, chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Chapter 2, verse 15. And woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor and praising him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. When a person gets drunk, how do you know a person gets drunk? Huh? How do you know a person gets drunk? When a person gets drunk, he will say, oh no, I'm not drunk. I don't drunk, right? When a person gets drunk, you see the person drive is like, he's weaving like a snake, right? And another one is, when a person gets drunk, you see the person just take off all the clothes. They don't know they are not naked, right? They get drunk. So what does that mean? Drinking, you can refer to alcohol, and also that alcohol can referring to what? Entertainment. When we get drunk with worldly entertainment, been brainwashed by entertainment, and then a lot of people consider shame as glory. Right? You wear so little and you're wandering around all the street trying to show off your body. It's a shame. It becomes a glory. Right? I divorced 3 times. This is my 3rd husband. Oh, very glory. But it's a shame according to the Bible. It's sin. Oh. So when we get drunk with the worldly entertainment, we already lose judgment. Because our conscience is already numb. Once our conscience is numb, then we are not far away from sin. All right. You look into the if you take away sex and violence from movie, do you want to watch movie? Almost nobody watch movie, right? Oh. But when you enjoy too much there, in your real life, you already feel nothing, right? Boy and girl kiss, nothing. You like it. You love each other, why not? Right? This is a culture. And after kissing, your fire burning. Burning about what? The next step. And do a lot of things in the teaching of the Bible. It's not pure. But still so many people do it. This is immorality generation. People drink too much wine. Not only alcohol, worldly entertainment. So one day I was in UK. One of the preachers asked me, do you know where in the world had most of the Satan? Do you know? Yeah, you answer it. It's right. I don't know. I don't know. He say Hollywood. I say why? Because Hollywood creates so many movies and been exposed to every corner in the world to pollute the world. The world, you know, I read a article talk about adult movie. Have you ever seen adult movie? I don't think, right? Adult movie. Where produce adult movies the most? Fundamental Valley. Where is it? I don't know where is it. Oh, it's somewhere around here, right? Somewhere around here. Produce adult movie, right? So this is a place, a lot of Satan. Did you see it? You did not see it. But from the product, you know where Satan is here. Oh, immorality. Oh, Satan kill person without shedding the blood. Immorality. So uncircumcised get drunk. So what is the teaching? The next one, idolatry, chapter 2, verse 20, 18 to 20. And what profit is the image that it maker should cave it, and the molded image a teacher of lie, and that make of its mold should trust in it, and to make mute idol. Woe to him who say the wood awake, and to silent stone arise, it shall teach. So verse 18 to 20 is talk about the image made of gold, wood, or silver, and then people worship him as an idol. Woe to them, right? But now, even though we don't worship that kind of material image, inside people's heart, now generation, everybody worship idol, right? I want to be successful. Oh, success is the most important goal in my life. That's idol. In order to be successful, I can use all my means to get it. That's idol. You put it more important than God, more important than family, right? I want to make millions of dollars. That's idol. Money become your idol. I want to be famous. Everybody know me. That is idol, right? I want to excel more, higher than anybody. Everybody can what? Follow me. I have a lot of fans. That's idol. So nowadays, you look, even superficially, nobody worship idol. Everyone, except those who are in the church, everyone, they have idol. Woe to them. Because once they have idol, and God has no position reserved for God. So, how come Babylon was destroyed by God? You look into how many walls. Greed and aggression, exploitation, extortion, violence, immorality, and idolatry. Only the five sins add up together, they are deserved to die. God punished them eventually, even though God used them as a rod. But God dealt with their sin separately. God is a God of history, and God is a God of justice. In the due time, in the human history, his justice will be done. That's what we learn. So when you are unjustly treated, don't think about revenge. God knows it. God will do something. Don't put the justice in your own hand. If we do this, we disrespect God. Because God is the one who is going to exercise justice. So don't revenge. Forgive. That is what God wants us to do. Let's sing him and we pray.